Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Sunday, September 28th. Happy Resurrection Day. Let us begin with some of the litany from the morning prayers of the Church of England. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Blessed are you, Sovereign God, Creator of all. To you be glory and praise forever. You founded the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. In the fullness of time, you made us in your image, and in these last days, you have spoken to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. And we rejoice in the gift of your presence among us. Let the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Your Spirit ever renew our lives, and your praises ever be on our lips. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God forever. I want to go back through that prayer just a little bit as we rejoice in the gift of your presence. Lord, would you make us aware of your presence? Would you remind us that you have put your Holy Spirit in us? Let the light of your love always shine in our hearts. Lord, help us to remember that you have called us to reflect your light in this world. Your Spirit ever renew our lives. Lord, when we don't have proper perspective, you call us back by your Spirit to the narrow path, and your praises ever be on our lips. On this Resurrection Sunday, we do lift our hearts in praise to you. Because as legalists, we want to be able to say, I can do it on my own, but we know that we fall short. And then as people who err to the other side, we say, oh, it doesn't really matter how we act. But we know that that's not true either. There is a standard in our hearts, and Jesus Christ fulfills it. And so we thank you and praise you, Lord, that you have done for us what we could not do for ourselves. Our first reading today is Isaiah chapter 31, and I'm reading in the Message paraphrase. Doom to those who go off to Egypt, thinking that horses can help them, impressed by military mathematics, awed by sheer numbers of chariots and riders. And to the Holy One of Israel, not even a glance, not so much as a prayer to God. Still, he must be reckoned with, a most wise God who knows what he's doing. He can call down catastrophe. He's a God who does what he says. He intervenes in the work of those who do wrong, stands up against interfering evildoers. Egyptians are mortal, not God, and their horses are flesh, not spirit. When God gives the signal, helpers and helped alike will fall in a heap and share the same dirt grave. This is what God told me. Like a lion, king of the beast, that gnaws and chews and worries its prey, not fazed in the least by a bunch of shepherds who arrived to chase it off. So God of the angel armies comes down to fight on Mount Zion, to make war from its heights. And like a huge eagle hovering in the sky, God of the angel armies protects Jerusalem. I'll protect and rescue it. Yes, I'll hover and deliver. Repent, return, dear Israel, to the one you so cruelly abandoned. On the day you return, you'll throw away, every last one of you, the no gods your sinful hands made from metal and wood. Assyrians will fall dead, killed by the sword thrust, but not by a soldier, laid low by a sword, not swung by a mortal. Assyrians will run from that sword, run for their lives. And their prize young men, made slaves, terrorized, the rock-solid people will fall to pieces. Their leaders scatter hysterically. God's decree on Assyria. His fire blazes in Zion. His furnace burns hot in Jerusalem. Did you catch the reminders here that we should not trust in human power, but in the divine? That God Himself is the defender, and that we should turn from idols and self-reliance. And then in the end, that God will be the one to defeat Assyria, and it won't have anything to do with human power. This reminds me in my own life that I am not called to retaliation. When I am offended, my instinct is to buck up, to defend myself, and to retaliate. But Romans 12:19 says, "Do not take revenge. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord." And so we turn, Lord, to you in prayer, and we want to stay rooted in your identity, that we are not called to be a people who seek human approval, but a people who seek God's approval. And so we say, Lord, bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt his name forever. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing his praise and exalt his name forever. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sing his praise and exalt him forever. Our second reading is Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Those who had been scattered by the persecution triggered by Stephen's death traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. But they were still only speaking and dealing with their fellow Jews. Then some of the men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who had come to Antioch, started talking to Greeks, giving them the message of the Master Jesus. God was pleased with what they were doing and put his stamp of approval on it. Quite a number of the Greeks believed and turned to the Master. When the church in Jerusalem got wind of this, they sent Barnabas to Antioch to check on things. As soon as he arrived, he saw that God was behind and in it all. He threw himself in with them, got behind them, urged them to stay with it for the rest of their lives. He was a good man that way, enthusiastic and confident in the Holy Spirit's ways. The community grew large and strong in the Master. Then Barnabas went on to Tarsus to look for Saul. He found him and brought him back to Antioch. They were there a whole year, meeting with the church and teaching a lot of people. It was in Antioch that the disciples were for the first time called Christians. It was about this same time that some prophets came to Antioch from Jerusalem. One of them, named Agabus, stood up one day and, prompted by the Spirit, warned that a severe famine was about to devastate the country. The famine eventually came during the rule of Claudius. So the disciples decided that each of them would send whatever they could to their fellow Christians in Judea to help out. They sent Barnabas and Saul to deliver the collection to the leaders in Jerusalem. Our psalm for today is Psalm 78, verse 4. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4 in the Message. Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on the sweet old truths, stories we heard from our fathers, counsel we learned from our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things he has done. And so let us remember some of the wonderful things that the Lord has done using the song of Zechariah. You have raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of your servant David. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who has come to his people and set them free. He has raised up for them a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets, God promised of old to save us from our enemies, from the hand of all who hate us. to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath God swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight, all the days of our life. And you, child, shall be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of all their sins and the tender compassion of our God. The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. And now let us intercede for the day and its tasks. Lord, would you be with my brothers and sisters, whatever they face today? Help them to be a people on whom your light shines, even in darkness. And would you guide their feet in a way of peace? We pray for our world and its needs. Lord, in a world that seems very polarized, may we as a church be unified in the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for Mountain Brook Baptist and all the churches represented. We pray that you would strengthen us to do the work of ministry. Lord, would you hear us? Would you graciously hear us? Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.